All right, tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 36. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 36.
The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 36 reads this way. It says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, once again thanking you for the privilege of assembling together as your people. Then, Lord, again being reminded, may we never forget that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. What a privilege, what a blessing, Lord, to know that you are here with us tonight. We do pray, Lord, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you, and that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, "Ye shall be free indeed." And that's really the objective of the Lord Jesus Christ and the triune Godhead. They've come to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. And that's what God wants us to enjoy. The question is, do we want that life that God wants to give us? Do we believe, do we have faith that God has that for us? Because if we don't, we'll spend very little time pursuing the things of the Lord. But if we really believe the Lord that he's got so much for us, we'll pursue him. And he's promised if we seek him, if we diligently seek him, the Bible says he's a rewarder of those, again, that diligently seek the Lord. And so that's a blessing for us to understand. That's what God wants us to do. And tonight we're going to consider two truths that the Lord reveals here among many, but two truths tonight that will keep souls in bondage in spite of being confronted with the truth. And I believe the Lord wants us to know that. There's a couple of reasons for it. He wants us to be in the light. He wants us to walk in the truth. He wants us to be free indeed. That's the Lord's idea for us. That's his plan and his will for our lives. By the way, the best servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is one that is truly free indeed. So he wants us to enjoy that. But then also that we might understand the opposite when we deal with it. I mean, listen, there are people, just because they might have a profession of faith doesn't necessarily mean, you got to investigate what that means. What does that mean to you? What is salvation to you? Can they point you? A lot of people say, yeah, I'm saved. And then you ask them what that means, and then you might kind of get like a blank stare. That happens. Or they might tell you something really crazy. You know, I opened up a songbook and I saw Jesus on the cross in the songbook. That'll scare you. I had somebody tell me that before. And I was like, well, where is that place where you realized your sins before the Lord and that he was the atonement or the payment for your sins, and by faith you placed your trust in him and he gave you eternal life? And the Bible says you've become born again. Amen? We shouldn't be afraid of Bible terms. Jesus said ye must be born again. That's what the Lord said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus. And he was a ruler of the Jews, and the Lord was saying, and you don't understand these things, you don't, and you're a teacher, you teach the Bible, the Word of God, and you don't know. So the Lord was saying there is a conflict, or at least at the very least a contradiction there. How can you do this not knowing who the Lord is? So tonight, as we consider this, we're gonna look at these two truths, or two reasons really, why a soul will be kept in bondage in spite of being confronted or hearing the truth. We'll see that tonight. The first one, the Lord said, "My word hath no place in you." That's the first reason. The word of God has no place in the heart of these kind of individuals. And secondly, you cannot hear my words, right? You can't hear them, even though, not that they didn't hear them, they heard what the Lord was saying, but they didn't receive them. They did not hear them in a receiving kind of way. So look with me, if you will, in verse 36 again. And again, it's not pedigree, but a relationship with God the Father through the Son that God desires. So look at verse 36 here. It says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." So the Lord himself is saying, you give no room for the word of God. You hear the word of God, and you even mouth the words of God, but the heart is very far away, right? They worship me with their lips, but their hearts are very far, and that's because the word of God, the Lord says, "My word hath no place in you." He says, verse 38, he says, "I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. If you would be a chip off the old block, is what he's saying. He's saying, you would be doing the things that Abraham did. And Abraham, you know what he was doing? He was following the word of God, wasn't he? The word of God was saying, this is what you need to do, and he would do it. Now, he struggled twice, didn't he, with his wife Sarah. He got fearful. That's what drove him to say, hey, listen, you better tell them that you're my sister. Now listen, notice how he did this. Was there some truth in that? Yes, there was, but it was not what God wanted him to do, was it? It was not honest. In fact, he did it to save his own skin because he thought that, you know what, surely they don't know the Lord. But they forgot that God knows everybody, and he knows where his people are at and what he's calling and asking his people to do and where he's leading them. God will protect them. And so he had a failure there, but he did desire to do the right thing. So God's not talking about sinless perfection and following the word of God, but a heart to want to do that which is right according to the word of God, doing the works of Abraham. So as we drop down, we find that there's a contradiction with Abraham. In verse 40, but now ye seek to kill me. You're not doing the works of Abraham. Ye seek to kill me, a man, listen to this, that hath told you the truth. The Lord is saying, I told you the truth. Question, did the Lord tell them the truth? Absolutely, because he is the truth, isn't he? And so he does not lie. There's no lie in him. So he tells them, he says, I told you the truth, which ye have heard of God. This did not Abraham. He's saying, wait a minute, your father Abraham, that you are the seed, but you're not his children. Imagine that, right? You're the seed. Remember, he had Ishmael and Isaac. One that was after the flesh and one that was after the spirit. And we're not talking about sinless perfection here. Isaac also made some mistakes also, but he did seek to honor the Lord, right? He did follow the Lord, but Ishmael rejected the Lord. And so he says there's a contradiction here. And then notice verse 41. Notice what he says here about their father. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, listen to this, we be born not of fornication. Now this might be a slam on the Lord, okay? Because what they were saying was, if you remember the beginning of the Lord, beginning of really with Mary and the Lord, when God visited her with the Holy Spirit and planted the seed of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, in her. Joseph didn't know that. He thought, because he loved her, he thought, I need to put her away. I can't marry her. So very well, this could be the implication here of the history, because they keep tabs on everything, right? And then he didn't know her until after the Lord was born. And then there were some other children that were born to them. But they're saying, listen, we be not born of fornication. And so he said, but we have one Father, even God, there in verse 41. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, as we consider this, he says, if he were your Father, he says, ye would love me. You know why? Because Abraham loved him. Abraham was in the midst. Listen, when God said, let us make man in our image, the word Elohim there is a plurality there. There's more than just one person in the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Son has always been. Now, there was a point in time when he entered into the world as a man. That was a one-time event, right? But before that, God had existed in eternity past through the Son, through, of course, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So he's explaining some things to them, and they're having a hard time understanding it, again, because the Word of God had no place in them. They had rejected that, and they were willing to do things their way. So he says again in verse 42, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Verse 43, even because ye cannot what? Hear my word. You can't hear it. Now, are they physically hearing Jesus speaking? Yes. But he's telling them, you can't receive it. You are not in a place in your heart and in your mind to hear and receive the word of God. There's a lot of people that heard who the Lord Jesus Christ was. Many of them did not trust the Lord. Many of them did trust the Lord. So that's the difference of the hearing. Both really heard the audible sound of the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, but only certain ones that were open to it, to receiving it, trusted in Him, and then became born again children of the Lord. Then there were others that rejected it for whatever reason. And I'll tell you, the greatest reason is pride. Pride, right? The greatest reason is I don't want to receive it. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that's the way the Lord works. And here's the craziest thing. The Lord, even through the Son, the Lord works through a human instrumentality. It's the way the Lord always worked. Through Moses. Didn't he work through Moses? Was Moses perfect? No. He worked through Daniel. Was Daniel perfect? No. He worked through Joseph. Was Joseph perfect? No. He worked through David, a man after God's own heart. Was David perfect? No, he was not. But here's the thing. Jesus was the only sinless Son of God. The only one that was born. And the Godhead chose to glorify Himself through imperfect mankind. Now, we can either trust that, believe that, or reject it. And so this was what was causing these people to have a hard time with the Lord, because they couldn't fathom the idea that God would come in human flesh. And yet He did. But had they listened to the Word of God and the prophets, didn't Isaiah prophesy that God would come amongst us, that He would be born of a virgin, that He would come into the world? And He did exactly that. And by the way, if they would have done their research, and by the way, they kept meticulous records of their lineage, right? The temple was not destroyed at this point, and they had meticulous records of who was born, where, when, and how. And so He said to them, you do the deeds of your father. And He says, I didn't come of myself. And again, when we consider this, He says, you cannot hear my words. Verse 43, why don't you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, what? The devil. Now listen, they were born of the seed of Abraham, but they did not have the right father. Isn't that amazing? Pedigree is not important as receiving the Lord Jesus Christ in a relationship. See, it's not the things that we do, it's what God does for us. That's what makes the difference. Didn't the Lord say, many are going to say to me in that day when they stand before the Lord, but Lord, Lord, this is what we did. And they put out a barrage of things. We were faithful to you. We did this. We did that. You know what He says I'm going to say to them? He says, I never knew you. What does that mean? He knows who they were, but He never knew them in the intimate relationship that the Father wants to have with all of His children. They were not born again. And that's why there was that conflict. And they couldn't see it. They were blinded by their pride. They were so convinced they were right, they couldn't see the pride that blinded them from the very one that the Word of God spoke about that was right in front of their face. They said no to the Lord. They said, we reject what you've said. We reject what we're seeing. And we're going to go ahead and walk in unbelief and walk our own way. And listen, God being the gentleman that He is, He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. He's not going to make anybody do anything they don't want to do. And the first thing that the child of God should want to do is say, Lord, I trust you. That means even if things don't work the way I think they should work, absolutely. Absolutely. He says, listen, try the spirits and see whether or not it's coming from the Word of God. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Did Jesus line up with the Word of God? Absolutely He did. But they could not see that. So notice we find here marks of the wrong father. Again, He says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil. Listen to this. And the lusts of your father, He says, ye will do. You're going to do what he does. What does he do? Well, he was a murderer from the beginning. So when Cain rose up to slay Abel, he was following his father, the devil. Why in the world, ever stop to think about this? Why did Cain slay Abel? Did Abel do something against him? Or did he just simply offer the sacrifice that the Lord received? And that made him jealous. And that made him angry. And that made him upset. But wait a minute, it gets even better than that. Because the Lord saw that and came to him there and said, "Listen, why is thy countenance fallen?" He said, "Listen, if you do right," and I'm paraphrasing, "won't you be accepted also?" And of course, that's when he got up and left and saw his brother and slew him. I mean, it didn't take long. He rejected God's will and God's way, and therefore he carried out his own actions because he was not of the Father. He did not have the love of God. He was filled up with who? Himself and the devil. He was following, carrying out the work of his father. Verse 44 again, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not," he did not live in the truth, "because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And I want you to understand how he works. Question. He doesn't just tell a bold-faced lie, does he? No, he throws a little truth in there. He sprinkles it with a little truth. See? If God says something is wrong, can you make it right anyway at all whatsoever? No, that's deception. That if God says something is wrong and we try to excuse, listen, stealing is stealing no matter how small. If it doesn't belong to you, don't take it. Thieves are opportunists. That's what a thief is. In other words, the thief doesn't maybe start out the day saying, "I'm going to steal today." But because he's a thief, he sees something, he likes it, nobody's looking, he thinks, God's always watching, he takes it. And that's the nature. Why? Because thieves are not of their heavenly father, they're of their father, the devil. They come to steal and to destroy. Those are the two traits, really, of those that have rejected. And by the way, that's an indicator for us. How am I walking? Do I look to pervert or to twist anything? I don't want to. Listen, anytime we do that, we put a wedge in our relationship between us and our God. That doesn't honor him. And by the way, that's not trusting him. Do you know, listen, can God provide for you and I without you and I having to do anything on our behalf to get things? In other words, do we have to manipulate? Do we have to lie? Do we have to steal? Or can we do things the way God says to do them and he'll bless us and give us an increase? God says, listen, if you work, you will be rewarded, right? And the Bible says that a man who won't take care of his own family, work and feed them, he's worse than an infidel. So, it's a good idea to find work and to do work, and that's not a bad, and God will look out for you. Listen, he has done that for me many times. I remember when I went to seminary school, I was working at Discount Auto Parts part-time. And the first boss, I went in there and said, "Listen, I need Wednesday nights off. I got Wednesday night church. And then I got Sunday. And then I've got Saturday. I go out on visitation." We would go out on visitation Saturday. Well, he said, "Sure. Do you know, about less than probably 2 months, I got a new manager. And I knew nothing about it. Other than meeting him and the other manager, I don't know what happened to him. He went to another store or whatever. There's all kinds of discount. There used to be anyway. I don't know if they're still around. But anyway, all kinds of discount auto parts in Florida. And anyway, he came up to me. The new manager says, "Hey, I need to see you for a minute." So I thought, what did I do? I'm stocking oil. And I go back there and he says, "You've got Wednesdays and Saturdays and Sundays." He said, "I'm the manager, and I don't even get that." And I explained to him what happened. When I first started there, this is the arrangement, the agreement that I made with the manager before I hired on because of my responsibilities at my church. And he says, "Well, I don't know that I can do that. I'll get back with you." So I went back to my job, and I was stocking the shelves, and he came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked up at him, and he said, I guess you can keep it. So I thought, "Lord, I'll have to find another job. If they take this away from me, I'll do something, because I want to be committed to the Lord." And by the way, listen, that's happened more than once. I'm younger, you know, in my mid-30s, and I've got Jessica, I think Julia was on, maybe Gracie was on the way, maybe just Julia. And anyway, I was working at a carpet store selling carpet. And I was making $7 an hour. And I don't know if you know anything about raising a family. I'm sure you do. That's not a whole lot of money. But he says, you can make commissions. And he says, you can make somewhere between $25 and $50 a week extra. And the way we did it, there was four or five salesmen. And you just took your turn. The next customer, the next person up got that customer, right? Do you know, after I worked there for 9 months and I ended up taking another job, Do you know I averaged $180 every week in commissions? And I felt a little bit embarrassed. The owner said, right in front of all these salespeople that had been there for 10, 15, and 20 years, he said, I am losing my best salesman. And I thought I'm flattered, but I feel about this big now, because he just said it in front of everybody that I worked with. And I thought, boy, am I glad, you know, that I'm getting ready to leave. But here's the thing. God will take care of us if we'll trust him. I had no idea. I mean, I knew what I was making, but I had no idea that God was going to provide for me in that way. But he took care of me. Amen? He took care of me. And by the way, I worked every Saturday at the Floor Mart, but where I didn't when I was younger. But here's the whole thing. If we trust the Lord, even when it doesn't make sense to us, he will show himself true. He's always true. And so as we consider this, we find here the march of the wrong father, and then we see the rejection of the truth here in verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. You don't believe the truth. Which of you convinceth me of sin? That's an important thing. If you're so set against me, convince me of sin. Silence. That's important. Convince me of sin. The Lord just convinced them of sin. They didn't deny it one time. You're of your father, the devil. You commit murder. You commit, you know, you're not being upright. And they didn't answer for that. But he says, which one of you convinceth me of sin? And they didn't have an answer for that. And if I say the truth, notice, why do you not believe me? So that was an important statement there. They couldn't prove, they couldn't say anything. And if I'm speaking the truth, and they knew he was. They knew he was. He says, why do you not believe me? He that is of God, listen to this, heareth God's words, ye therefore hear them not. Now they're hearing them, but they're not receiving them, because you're not of God. It's just that simple. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say ye not, listen now, this is their response. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Now that's their response. Now wait a minute. These are the leaders of the Jewish people. Did they not have records and accounts that they could go to and see who his mother and father were? Were they not both of the lineage of David? Full blood Jews? How could he be a Samaritan? And see, look at their lies. They don't even, you know, Jesus didn't even bother trying to answer that, because it was so easy to find out. And this was their accusation to them. And he says, you have a Samaritan. Jesus answered, verse 49, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. He's making that clear. I want you to know where you're coming from. And notice, and I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now watch the confusion here. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Now wait a minute. Listen, there's a big difference concerning eternal death and life everlasting, isn't there? And so is the Lord God the God of the living or the dead? He's the God of the living. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are all still alive. Amen? But they couldn't understand that. They couldn't receive that. And then they said this to him. Verse 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? So the Lord tells him, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. You know, listen, liars can lie right to your face. But you got to know this. They know they're lying. And they think just because they can hold a straight face that they're getting away with it. Oh no, God sees every one of those lies. Every one of them. And so the Lord is calling them out and pointing this out to them. And don't you know, they gave a full account for this. And they will, yet again. But notice, he says, yet ye have not known him. Verse 55. In fact, look at 54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, and this is the truth, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. You know what he's saying? He's God. Amen. He was making no bones about it. The problem was, listen, the word of God had no place in them and they couldn't hear it. You know why? Because God thought outside their brains. And they were so filled up with pride, they could not deny themselves and believe on the truth. What is that? That's not impossible for the Lord. Is there anything too great for the Lord? Not at all. So if this is what he's doing, and could they not have read that in the Word of God? That the Lord was going to come in robed in flesh? Absolutely. But they rejected the truth. So, verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. This is the response. We'll kill him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Did you get that? They picked up stones. The Lord went right through the middle of them. They couldn't throw any rocks. They picked up stones, and I'm sure they wanted to throw them, but they couldn't. The Bible says that he walked right through the middle of them. Wouldn't that tell you something if you were one of them? Who is this man that can control my will? Because they willed to kill him. And they could not do it. You know why? Because it wasn't the Lord's time yet. Does the Lord love us? He gave us his Son. Do you know that nothing comes into our lives that God doesn't allow? And do you know if we will rest in that, we'll have his peace? And I want you to know something. That's not an automatic thing. That's something that we have to practice, our faith, trusting the Lord. And then we'll have that peace, right? That means in all the little things, trusting the Lord and not being moved by a situation or circumstances, but being reminded that God is in this too. For his glory and for our what? Our good. For our good. And you know what? That's where the peace comes from. But again, listen. That practicing that faith is like practicing prayer. Prayer is not automatic. We have to labor. And is God worthy of our time? Then should we not make time? How much time? Just a couple minutes for God? Or should we, and we ought to be consistent. Whatever the time is that we set with the Lord, that's between you and the Lord. There's no amount of time, but there ought to be some time. Every day and you decide how much is God worthy of your time. And sometimes there are things in our lives that require much prayer and fasting. And these are all good things. And are these my words or the Lord's words? I would have never thought of that. But God did. And he says, if you'll honor me, that's what the Lord says. He'll honor us. And so tonight, we are free indeed in the Lord. Amen? Amen. All we need to do is receive every word of God. We received him for eternal life. Is he not truly worthy of all the other words he has for us and all the other promises that he's made? Absolutely. So tonight, walk in the freedom that God has set us free in. Amen. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, your wisdom that you bring to us. Lord, what a wonderful will you have and you've given. May we trust you in these things. May we receive you in all that you've directed for our lives. May we trust you in all of these things and walk uprightly by your mercy and your grace to truly be your children that honor and glorify you and shine a light into a dark and dying world that needs to see your love, not ours, Lord, but yours and how much you've given to give life to all those who will come. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.